Praise God. I tell you, we're on the battlefield tonight.
Yes, we are. Hallelujah.
If you're saved tonight and you're serving the Lord, you're on the battlefield. And I'm glad to be one of those soldiers in the battlefield for the Lord tonight.
Amen.
I'm in this army by choice. Yes. I joined. I wasn't drafted into this, but it was a volunteer basis.
Right.
I'm glad to be on the battlefield.
Yes.
Praise God. It's a good fight. Paul said he fought a good fight, and I'm telling you tonight, it is a good fight.
Amen.
Amen. If you'll fight this good fight of faith, the Bible said to fight the good fight of faith and lay hold on eternal life. I'm glad for that tonight. I tell you, this is a race to win. If you're in the battle for the Lord, you're going to win that one. You're not on the losing side. You're not going down, but you're going up. You're on the winning side, and I'm glad tonight to have that assurance that I'm not just beating at the air aimlessly. I'm not just wondering, you know, whether this is going to be all right or not, but I've got the assurance, amen, that this is right.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, I'm just glad for Jesus tonight, glad to be saved by the grace of God tonight. I'm glad to know Him for myself as my personal Savior, and I know that I have passed from death unto life because I have love for the brethren. Hallelujah. Well, He's wonderful to us tonight, and I'm just glad to be one of His little children.
Yes.
On my way home, and after a while I'm going to arrive. That's going to be a good time when we get there. Amen. I heard some of them say tonight they had more behind them than they did before them. Well, in this life, that's right. And I don't know how much I got before me, but I'll tell you, there's a whole lot out there before me after this life that I'm working for. Amen. I'm just glad to be here. Appreciate the opportunity to be here at Martinsville, Brother Bill and his family and the church folks and all you visitors that are here tonight. And we just trust that the Lord will bless you in this service tonight. And the Lord knows what our needs are right here tonight. He knows what your battles are. He knows what you're facing. And He cares.
Yes, He does.
And He wants to help us tonight. If you have your Bibles, you'd like to turn with us to the book of Daniel. Book of Daniel in the Old Testament, chapter number 1. Book of Daniel, chapter number 1. And we'll begin reading here in the 3rd verse. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored and skillful in all wisdom and cunning in knowledge, understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names. For he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, to Hananiah of Shadrach, to Mishael of Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the princes of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. You may be seated. Praise God. I'd like to preach tonight on Be True, Faithful Pilgrim. Be True, Faithful Pilgrim. Here we read in this portion of Scripture how that the king of Babylon here, he sent word and said, I want you to gather those young men within my providence here, and I want you to gather them in and train them and teach them the way of the Chaldeans. And among them was some men from Jerusalem, from Israel, of the children of Israel. They were brought in captivity here into Babylon, and to a strange land, to a strange people, being taught strange ways.
Yes.
They were not accustomed to the things of the Babylonians and the Chaldeans. That was not their customs. They were in a new place. They were pilgrims.
Yes.
They were strangers in a land they didn't know a whole lot about. But they were chosen among the other young men to be trained and taught the ways of the Chaldeans. And they had lots of influences on them in that day. There was a whole lot of pressure on those young men. There was a whole lot of things being presented to them that was different and strange, and things that they were not accustomed to. And not only were they not accustomed to them, but there was things that were presented to them they just could not do.
That's right.
They said, we just can't do some of the things you're asking us to do. And
man,
I mean, a lot of pressure was put on these young men. And you read right here where I read to you, their names was even changed.
Right.
They did not even get to keep their old names that they were accustomed to, but they gave them new names, and each one of those names had reference to an idol god. Every one of those names had reference to idol gods. And can you imagine being taken out of your homeland and out from among your people and away from your God and your churches and into a strange place, and not only being trained and taught by their people the way they wanted them to believe and the things they wanted them to know and to understand, but they was given a different diet. And they were given a new name. That was the situation that faced these three Hebrew boys and these four Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And there was Daniel among them. And the Bible tells us that Daniel purposed in his heart,
yes,
that he would not be defiled by the king's meat,
right,
and the king's wine. I believe Daniel's purpose went even further than that,
yes,
that he would not be defiled by that nation, by that system that he was under, but he would stay true to his God. In the midst of the circumstances he was in, he decided and purposed in his heart, I can't help these circumstances. I was taken here. I didn't want to be here. I was brought here. I'm being forced to learn these things. I'm having all these things confronting me, but there's one thing for sure. I'm going to know my God. And I'm going to tell you, you can read about Daniel and you'll find why he knew his God. He stayed on his knees and prayed three times a day. Oh, I'm telling you, that's the key to knowing God today, is a good, fervent, strong, cultivated prayer life in every individual. I'm telling you, if you aim to make it, you're going to have a prayer life. We're pilgrims and strangers today. We're in a strange land. And I tell you, it ain't getting no better neither. It's getting worse. Things are not gaining, growing toward God. This once, which was called Christian America, and surely it's still religious, maybe more so than ever before, but it's not going closer to God, but it's going further from God. And I'm telling you, if you're going to make it out of here and stay true to God, pilgrim, in a strange land, you're going to have to purpose in your heart, just like Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did in their day. They purposed and said, I will not be defiled, but I'll stand true to my God.
Amen.
They had a lot of opposition against them. Had a lot of things they had to face. And they faced them even there in the beginning. You know, the Bible tells us that they told them, said, look, we want you to eat from the king's table. He's going to serve you, and we want you to, we're going to train you, and we're going to feed you. And they said, hey, this is going to cause us some problems here. We can't eat this meat that's coming from the king's table. being in that idolatrous country, no doubt it was meat being offered to idols. No doubt it broke all kinds of things that those Jewish boys could not partake of. And they said, don't feed us the meat, and don't give us the wine, but just feed us pulse. Give us water to drink. And so they agreed to do that, and after 10 days, they examined them and found out they were doing better than the other boys was. Amen. I want to tell you what the world don't understand us. They don't understand why we do like we do, and how we can get along like we get along. Amen. But I'm telling you, we're living according to a different set of standards. Praise God. I'm not living according to the standards of the world. I don't act like they do. I don't go the places they go. I don't talk like they talk. I've got a different mode of conduct, a different set of standards that I go by. And it's those that the Lord has placed right down in my heart. And I get along a whole lot better than they do. Praise God. I was talking to one of my first cousins one time, tried to make this real short, but he come down, he'd been visiting a long ways away from home, about 800 miles. He was having a family reunion, and he was about my age, and we were very close when they lived close to us, and they moved way off, and he come down, and I drove up. I was a little late getting there, and when I drove up, I inquired. I said, "Where's Johnny at? I want to see him. Heard he was down." They said, "Well, Johnny's had a bad day today." Lynn said, "He's up there in the attic, sitting down by himself." And I said, "Can I go talk to him?" And I did. And he had had a bad day. His wife got mad at him, 800 miles away from home, got in the car and left him. There in front of all his family. Brought him a lot of shame. And it was his second marriage already. He'd had problems already. Once was saved, a backslider on God. I'm going to tell you, I live to a different set of standards than what the world lives to. And I talked to him a little while, tried to encourage him, and I told him, I said, I don't know how to sympathize with you. I ain't been in those shoes before. He said, "No, Glenn, and you won't never have to either." He said, "Because you're saved, and your wife is saved." I'll tell you, we get along better than the world gets along, folks. Don't look around and say, "Why do they get along so good?" They ain't getting along so good. They're not getting along near as good as you are. You're serving a living God, and He's watching out for you. Surely you got persecution. Surely you got things to contend with. But we're going to a better place. We're just passing through here. This is not our home, but we're going to a better country after a while. This ain't the end right here. Praise God. Oh, I'm telling you today, we're facing a lot of things in the church today. Daniel faced it in his day, but we're facing it in our day. Yes, sir, we weren't brought here as captives, but we weren't here by choice either, was we? Hey, didn't none of us come here by choice? But we're here, and we're not just in any generation, but we're in this generation. And I believe this generation is the last days. I believe we're living just before the coming of the Lord. Oh, I believe it's coming, it's near, church. Oh, don't get too careless in your life, and don't get too complacent in your prayer life and in your serving the Lord, because the Lord is soon coming. Oh, Jesus is coming after a while, and He's coming back for a church without a spot or a blemish or a wrinkle or any such thing. He's coming after a while. We just got to be ready for it. But before He comes, folks, there's some things we're going to see. The Bible clearly tells us here in Matthew 24, hey, some things we're facing, and we're facing them today. We're seeing some things. We're in troublesome times. The Bible said we'd see perilous times. Yes, sir. In the latter days, we'd see perilous times. Said, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." We're living in this kind of day right now. Right here. Oh, we're not talking about way out yonder somewhere, but I'm talking about right now. We're seeing this. Matthew 24. The Bible says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, what shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Not a few,
not just a little small part, but he said, many shall come in my name and say that I am Christ and shall deceive many. The first thing the Lord warned us about prior to his coming was a great time of deception.
Yes. Right.
We're living in a day today that it's a very deceiving hour. Oh, there's so much religion today that's not true religion. Oh yeah, there is a true religion though.
Yeah.
Yes sir, there's pure religion. Amen. I'm telling you, there is a real, true, genuine religion today. We've almost got afraid to say religion, and we always refer to salvation, but I'm telling you, there's pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the widows and the fatherless in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Pure religion. Oh, but there's religion everywhere. I mean, any kind you want to think of. If you don't like this kind, go down the road, there's another one. If you don't like that, you better go down the road and you'll find nothing you like. If you don't like the way things are run around here, go down the road and they'll run it a different way for you. Amen. That's about the way some folks are, jumping from church to church. They can't make their mind up. I tell you, you better find a church teaching the truth and stay with it. Amen. You better stay with it. This jumping around don't get you nowhere. Get you confused. That's what it'll do. You won't know what to believe. You won't know what is right and what is true. But I'm telling you, the Word of God is true, and you better stay with it.
That's right.
Oh, we're living in such a deceiving hour. Oh, I'm telling you, it don't matter what it is today. I was talking to a man just that started coming to our church not very long, and he'd been going to another holiness church, and I won't name the name of it, but it was another kind of holiness church, and he told me, he said, somebody come up to him and said, brother, buddy, said, how come you ain't been up there to see us? He said, well, I just been going down there to the Fire Baptist Church. I kind of like it down there. And they said, well, said, you can do what you want to. It's a free world. He said, that's what's wrong with most churches. They doing everything you want to do. And that's about the way it is. Just come and do as you please. And just pay your money in. And we love everybody. And everything's okay. And we're all going to heaven. But I'm telling you, it ain't that way tonight, friend. If you're not going according to the Word of God and staying with truth that's rooted and grounded in the Word of God, you ain't going to make it. Yes, sir. Oh, I'm telling you, we're living in one of the most deceiving hours. Yeah, you know, it just, you used to didn't hear nothing about this kind of stuff. FCA, anybody hear that? Fellow Christian athletes. Nobody didn't think they was Christians years ago. They run around half-dressed, out there playing sports and doing drugs and chewing tobacco and smoking and unfaithful to the companions and cussing and fighting and all kinds of ungodly worldliness. And today, though, there be Christians and doing great missionary works and all that kind of stuff. It's a deceiving hour, folks. You can't live any kind of way. You can't do any kind of thing. You can't live just like you want to live. It's what the Word of God says, and every other man be a liar. Praise God. It ain't just any kind of way, folks. I'm telling you the truth tonight. Amen. The Word of God said it'd be a deceiving hour. He said, let no man deceive you in these last days. Today, things of churches are accepting things and condoning things that no church group of 60, 70 years ago would have even thought about it. It's coming right into the churches and to the pulpits, homosexuals, and they condone them and ordain them right in the church. Never would have been dreamed of 60 years ago. No, it was a shame. Didn't even talk about it. We didn't even know what the terminology was. I mean, we didn't even know what to call them. It's just some old slang name we had. But now everybody knows what it is. Your little children know all about it. It's paraded up and down the streets. They're demanding their rights. They want to come into the church house. They want to be ordained. They want to be accepted and be church members and commit that ungodly sin. And many, many others. What a deceiving hour we're living in, folks. Oh, the Lord warned us this nearly 2,000 years ago. He said, before my coming, he said, you're going to see a day when it'll be a deceiving hour. A deceiving hour. Oh, and you know what is prevailing all around us? And don't you think it don't affect us? If you're not careful, it'll affect your children.
Yeah.
You better watch what you say, where you go, what you put up with, what you tolerate in your home. You better watch that. It'll affect your children.
Amen.
You say, well, you know, they're just children. You know, and they like to see the television and all the new things that's coming home and all of the things, you know, sometimes us homeless folks, we get criticized for depriving our children from a TV. Amen? The family, our own family sometimes that are not saved, they'll look at us and ridicule us and think, you're not doing them children right by not allowing them to have a television or to go to the ball game or to do the things of the world. But I'm telling you, friends, that's destroying your children. That's bringing them down. I've heard of folks, they took the children to ball practice while they went to prayer meeting. And then when they got grown, they stood up in church and said, pray for my children. Oh, my children are lost. And they were in ball and they were in sports and had no time for God. They weren't interested in God. It was what was cultivated at home. Cultivated right in the home. Oh, I'm telling you, you can't blame the church with everything, folks. I'm afraid a lot of times people's looking to the church, my children are lost. Blaming the church, blaming the pastor, blaming the Sunday school teacher. Some time back, a lady called my wife from another part of the country, and she said, oh, we need to do something about our Sunday school classes. I just realized how far my children are gone and how far they went out into the world and how little they know about the Lord. I told my wife, I said, it ain't Sunday school that's caused that. It's the home that's caused that. What's mom and daddy done about it? Not the Sunday school teacher. Deceiving hour. He went on and told them. He said, ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And he said, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrow. Trouble everywhere. Trouble, trouble, trouble. I mean, everywhere you look. Pick a newspaper up. Front page news. Trouble, trouble, trouble. I mean, everywhere you look. Wars, pestilences, famines. I mean, they're starving to death in some parts of the world. And here in America, we're wasting tons and tons and tons of food. Oh, yeah. That's the way it is. Oh, there's diseases on the rampage. AIDS is just out of control in some countries. And I'm telling you what, it's taking some toll in America too. It ain't just way over yonder. It's in our home communities, folks. Yes, sir, right there in my little community right there in McCall. It's just a little small town. I could tell you several cases of AIDS right there in that little town that's died. Not count the numbers of those who were infected by that terrible disease. Oh, trouble everywhere you look. Oh, yeah, everywhere you look. Problems, murders, killings, robbings. I mean, children killing parents, parents killing children, husbands and wives killing one another. Oh, just trouble everywhere you look. You listen to the prayer requests in a church and see what they are sometimes. I mean, it's from cancer to divorce to homes being broken up to trouble and problems and financial disaster. And it's in a country that's blessed beyond measure with money. We have terrible financial disaster in this country. Bankruptcy just look like it's just by great numbers. Trouble everywhere. Everywhere you look. Where do you see peace at? I'll tell you where peace is at. It's got to be right down inside of your heart. That's where peace is at. Ruling and reigning in the heart. Oh, the peace of God down deep in your soul when other things ain't going right. When things are not going the way that you would like to see them go. But the peace of God sustains you and keeps you in that hour. Trouble everywhere. He said, then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and they shall kill you. You shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Persecution. On day, you ain't got to wait for persecution to come. People are being persecuted every day right now.
That's right.
For the cause of Christ.
That's right.
Many of those disciples that heard Jesus say those words died a martyr's death.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. And the church has been persecuted all through the years. And I'm telling you, friends, we're going to see persecution too. Yes, sir. No telling what we may see before it's over. Before the Lord returns, we don't know what we'll be faced with. And persecution all throughout the land. Who knows what you and I may face before the Lord returns and takes us home, folks. We don't know. No, sir, he said there'd be persecution. And he said, great persecution. And then again he said, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Again he warned us of the deception of the hour. A great time of deception. Oh, many false prophets teaching the false thing. Teaching that's not true. Oh, you know, they'll teach a little truth and add a little false in it. A little leaveneth the whole lump. Let me tell you something, if truth is not being proclaimed, you better be careful. Yes, sir, if truth is not being proclaimed, you better be careful. Oh, there's a lot of people out here sometimes, and oh, they sound pretty good, you'll hear them, but if you listen just a little bit longer, they'll get mixed up in some doctrine that ain't right. They'll come in and they'll take in something over here that's just a false doctrine and a false teaching. He said, many false prophets shall rise, many, and many shall be deceived. Shall deceive many. He said, and because iniquity shall abound. Because iniquity shall abound.
Yes.
You don't have to look around to see that, do you?
Right. Right.
It's everywhere you look. We're living in a terrible time when the morals of this country have been looked like thrown out the door. Ain't no shamefacedness no more.
Right.
Immorality is prevailing throughout the land. Adultery almost affects every home anymore. Yes, sir. People will do anything to gain money. They'll lie. They'll cheat. They'll steal. Wickedness, sin abounding everywhere. And the Bible said, because iniquity abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Many are being led away. He said many would be deceived. Many are being led away in deception over here because of so much iniquity abounding around us. I'm telling you, when it abounds, it's on every side. You look this direction, you look that direction, in this direction. You see sin in every direction, and it's abounding all around us. And because it abounds and it's in every direction, constantly pulling on you, constantly tempting you, constantly trying to tear down what you believe and what you stand for, trying to break through the barriers, constantly pulling at you. That sin that's abounding everywhere is abounding all around. He said, the love of many shall wax cold. So many will be deceived. Many will, their love will wax cold. Their love for Jesus won't be what it once was. Their love for the Lord will not be that that'll sustain them in the hour of temptation. I'm telling you, you're going to have to love Him true, folks. If you're going to be able to stand temptation, you're going to have to stand faithful to Him and love Him with all your heart. And everything within you, love God. Anything short of that, I'm afraid, won't keep you. Many their love will wax cold. Oh, what a dark picture. The love of many waxing cold, many being deceived, many rising up against each other. Oh, but I'm telling you, he said, but he that endures to the end.
Yeah.
Amen, church, that's us.
Yeah.
That's us. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. I'm telling you, if you endure something, it means you put up with some things to get what you want. Amen. When you endure, you're putting up with some things. You're tolerating some things to get what you desire.
Yeah.
There's a lot of folks endure a whole lot of things to get money. There's people in they'll marry some old man sometimes to get money. I'm talking about a young woman. That's right. They'll marry somebody just to get the money. They'll endure a whole lot of things. They'll endure a lot of teasing and a lot of people saying things about them just to gain that money. But I'm talking about enduring for Jesus.
Yes.
To the end.
Yes.
Be true.
Yes.
Stand faithful.
Yes.
It's going to pay off after a while.
Yes,
The Bible tells us that those Hebrew boys, they put purpose in their mind. They would not be defiled. That's what you and I got a purpose in our heart today. We got a purpose in our mind. We won't be defiled. When others are falling away, when others are being deceived, when the majorities are going another way, that we don't mind being different. That we don't mind standing alone. That we don't mind standing for Jesus regardless of the cost, regardless of what it may cause us. The three Hebrew boys, the Bible tells us, finally they had to stand for the Lord until the point that they stood up and everybody else bowed to an image of Nebuchadnezzar. He put up an image and played the music and said, everybody bow. But those three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they said, we ain't going to be defiled. We're not going to change for nobody. We're not worshiping his God. We're not bowed to his God. But we're going to stand true, even as a stranger and a pilgrim in this foreign land among these foreign people. We're going to stand true. Yes,
amen.
They stood true. The Bible says they stood there. And oh, the guards got them, took them to the king, and went there to the king. And the king said, hey boys, said, I'm going to give you another chance here. They said, king, we're not careful to answer you in this. We're not worried about this. We done made a mind up. They had their mind made up when they got there. They didn't say, we got a conference over here. Let us talk a little while. Let us huddle up over here and see what we're going to do. I believe they spoke one as three and said, oh, king, said, we ain't going to bow. We're not going to bow. Our mind was made up when we was brought down here that we would not be defiled. And if this is our time to go, we're going to stand for Jesus. Stand for the Lord. Stand for God. Amen. I'm telling you, we got to stand for Jesus, folks. Hallelujah. They didn't know him then like we do now, but they was acquainted with him in a little while, because the Bible says they heated up the furnace seven times hotter. And they cast them over into that furnace, and the Bible said it slew the men that threw them in there. That's a hot fire, wasn't it? They picked them up and threw them in there. Those men that threw them in there, it killed them. It slayed them because the heat was so hot. But the old king sitting up there with all of those high people and those that were sitting around him and his advisors and all those other men that was up there for this great day and this time to dedicate that golden image. And there they sat and they looked over into that furnace, and the king looked around at them other men and said, hey, did not we throw three men? Bam! Into that furnace. They said, yes, we threw three men bound into the furnace, king. He said, but I see four, and they're up walking around, and one is like the Son of God. Hallelujah, I'm telling you, they found Jesus then, didn't they? Amen, I'm telling you, the Lord was right there with them, right in the midst of the fire when they went through it. You might feel like you're standing alone sometimes, but you're not standing alone. You might feel like you're all by yourself, and nobody else cares, and nobody else knows what you're going through. But I'm telling you, Jesus is there. For I said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And I'll go with you even to the end of the world. He is there. Praise God. There ain't nowhere you can go that he won't be there. Amen. In a strange country, he's there. In your home church at the altar, he's there. When you go to bed at night and you lay down and you talk to him, he's right there. When you get up and you go on your way and you face some kind of tragedy through that day and you get the phone call and they tell you somebody you know or love has had a terrible accident, he's there.